Yep. Open your Bibles, please, this evening to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 13. And we're going to look at verses number 5 through verses number 8 this evening. And while you're finding your places in God's Word, it is my joy and my privilege to be here at Faith Baptist Church. And I have enjoyed the music and the singing, and I've learned something tonight. I've been coming here since way back in the 80s. When Brother Poovy was, he's with the Lord now, but when he was living. Then I skipped a few years, and I came back in 94, and then I skipped another few years and came back and been coming regular. So I learned something tonight. I didn't know that Brother Bill and you folks sang, Brother Buddy. I didn't know that. You never get too old to learn, do you? I hate the pastor fail, but I should be used to all of that. My wife, before she got her hip replacement, and she, in the motorhome, as you don't have as much room as you have out here. And she'd get back in the bedroom, and she'd fall between the wall and the bed. Couldn't get up, and I'd drag her like a piece of cordwood. She said, if you give it to the foot of the bed, I'd get up. I'd drag her between the walls, and she'd get up. So we was up in near Vermont, and we went to Cracker Barrel, and said that she just tore the flow up. She failed. And you'll never get used to that, though. It's just something that you don't get used to. And thank you, dear. And I remember I was down in Greenville, and it had been raining, and the pastor, my first time with the new pastor, I'd been to that church many times, and went to eat supper and going up this ramp where the wheelchair goes, and she just failed and tore that all to pieces. My heart always gets up here when people fall. And I told Brother Don last night, he's over in the motorhome. I said, now let me go out first. If you fall, I'll catch you. He said, now that would be something. And tonight I wasn't expecting him to fall, and I had my back toward him. But I thought that was his head hit that. Must have been the cane. And I'm glad you didn't get hurt. You'll know tomorrow whether you're hurt or not. He'll know tomorrow, won't he? And I appreciate all you coming tonight. We've got folk from Welcome Baptist Church tonight. You folk from, y'all don't have prayer meeting tonight? Oh, you had it early. That's why you're over here. Well, I appreciate y'all coming over. God bless you. Brother Jim's my friend of many years. You didn't get to tell him what I told you last night, did you? You hadn't had a chance to tell him what I told you. You did? What did you say? I know he would, yeah. He's something else. He's my friend of many years. Well, it's good to see Brother J.D. and his wife. And Lord, I preached for this man many times. Thus saith the Lord Baptist Church did. We had a good time up the old building. And then now he's out here doing mission work and evangelism. And I seen the truck come in, and I whispered, I said, the wild man's here. Amen, Brother J.D. Hallelujah. I'm glad you're wide open for the Lord. Amen. So good to see y'all. My friends of many years, and so good to see them this evening. Let me say to the church, thank you for treating me with royalty. And my wife, she was here Sunday. And thank you for the birthday card you gave me and had some gifts in there. Thank you for that. You know, Sunday was my birthday, Brother J.D. Well, happy birthday. I was 84 years young Sunday. And thank y'all for the cards. And thank you for the cake and the refreshments. Appreciate that. And someone asked me last night, did I sin? And my wife said, one thing he'll never preach on is glutton. Before I came to church, Sister Teresa, she brought me some cornbread. She'd already buttered. I know you'd already buttered that. And Brother Don, his wife, sent me some pinto beans. I know you didn't cook them. Or did you? Some pinto beans. And also, Sister Risa brought me a jug of buttermilk. No, I didn't see it. But I'll tell you what, that cornbread was still warm. I wrapped it up real good. And when I got back to the house, it was still warm. I used to go to this house years ago when I was a kid. I went to a big A school outside of Stuart, Virginia. We had to walk to school. You know where that's at, Billy?
Yeah.
And the Fauchers, I'd go to that house, and Mrs. Faucher would bake cornbread and put it in the bed. And I wouldn't eat none of that cornbread because she put it in the bed. I guess she put it in to keep it warm of all places. To put your cornbread is in the bed.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't eat any of that cornbread. I remember that as a child. But thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to come and be in the meeting. I've enjoyed the meeting. I've enjoyed preaching. Hope I've been a help to you folk and an encouragement to you. And thank you for the offering. God bless you for what you've done for me. You pray for us as we travel. I'll be leaving in the morning, the Lord willing, perhaps around daylight, and then going home and coming back Saturday on the other side of Danville at Timberlake Baptist Church, camp meeting over there next week. And I'll be there through Friday morning. And then we'll leave there and we'll go to Fredericksburg, Virginia to the Open Door Baptist Church. And then we'll come back down from Fredericksburg to Meldon, North Carolina to Clearview Baptist Church. And then we'll leave there and go back to Lynchburg. Is it Central Baptist Church? Brother Fitzgerald, I'll be there, yeah. Anyway, you pray for us that I use it just now a month. So we're on the road, no open dates this year. So you pray for us as we travel for the Lord, and I'd appreciate that. Again, God bless you. And then let me say thank you. I mentioned this on Sunday night. Thank you for supporting our ministry faithfully every month. God bless you for that. Every soul that gets saved, every revival that we're in, Faith Baptist Church, you have a part in those meetings because you support us monthly, and God bless you for that. Or if you could and would, please, would you stand this evening in honor to the reading of God's Word and prayer time. In Hebrews 13, beginning at verses number 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may bodily say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now notice verses number 8, which is our text verse. Jesus Christ the same yesterday,
yep,
and today,
yep,
and forever. My Heavenly Father, I come before you this evening in the name of the Lord Jesus. Again, I want to thank you for your blessings of this day. You've made this day for us, and we're rejoicing, and we're glad therein. Then, Father, we're thankful again that we can assemble in your house to worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Father, I pray that you'd bless, as you have in the music and the song service, would you again bless in the preaching of your word?
Yes.
Would you give me that touch that I need and help me to rightly divide the word of God?
Yes.
Father, again, would you bless our visitors? Lord, I pray that you bless this church and all of its members.
Right.
And every preacher, pastor, missionary, and evangelist, I pray for them. I pray for Brother J.W., Lord, and his dear wife, and help him, J.D., as he, Lord, serves you. And then Brother Don, Lord, he's got these physical problems, and under shepherd in this church, I pray for him and his wife. And Lord, would you help the doctors to find the call? Perhaps they can help him, Lord. I believe in physicians. And God, I pray you would help him in this infirmity. Bless this church, and may supply every need, and give revival in these last days. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated, and thank you for standing. In honor to the reading of God's word and prayer time, I want to preach tonight on this thought, Jesus Christ, forever the same. I got up this morning and began to pray, and so I worked on this little message I'm going to try to preach for you tonight, or to you tonight. There's a lot of things that changes in this world. But one thing about it, Jesus Christ never changes. He's forever the same. People say to me sometimes when they hadn't seen me in a few years, said, Brother Fry, you look the same as you did years ago. Well, that's an encouragement, and I appreciate that, but we have a lot of good liars in our churches, too. And they mean well, and I know what they're saying, and I'm not dogmatic now.
Right.
And I'm glad that people think perhaps I look the same, and I have a picture on my phone, and I showed it to a man the other day, and he said, "Why, you hadn't changed. Dear God, I had a whole lot of hair then, and I weighed about 250 pounds, and wearing dark rim glasses, and I looked in the mirror, and I said, Lord, I have changed from that picture, so I see this fellow again, I ask if he wants to wear my glasses I'm wearing, and they say, you never change, but there's something about this old outward man.
Yes.
It's perishing every day,
yes,
and we're changing every day, but God never changes. He won't ever change. Let me give the introduction to our message and then the message this evening. Now, this precious verse, verses number 8, showcases an often neglected but very vital doctrine of God. Talk about in simple terms, the doctrine of God Almighty has never, can never, and will never change. He is by his very nature, unchangeable. God is unchangeable. So this means that he is as powerful as ever. He is loving and merciful and as full of grace and holy as much in control as he has ever been. He's still God. He'll always be God. He is absolutely unchangeable, ladies and gentlemen. Then again, this is one of the essential doctrines of Christianity. Why this we find the immutable so important? Because change implies imperfection. And God is absolutely perfect, therefore he cannot change ever. And so this truth is born out of several scriptural passages. In Psalms 90 and verse number 2, before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. See, there's never been a time when God was not.
That's right.
There'll never be a time when God is not. He's always been God. And from the very beginning, God's always been, there's no change in him. And I mentioned, since I've been here, God has a plan. He's going to follow his plan. Not man's plan, he's going to follow his plan. And then again, when I look in the Bible in Malachi 3, verse number 6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And then James chapter 1 and verse number 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, he says. In Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. So I would look to, listen, I would like to take this passage which reveals the same immutability in the Lord Jesus and share with you a few areas where Jesus is absolutely unchangeable. Now, Jesus will never change in regard, first of all, to his power. He will never change in his power. I think about this, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes we change. Sometimes our faith gets weak. Sometimes we lose heart. Sometimes we slow down. As I mentioned on Sunday night, I believe it was, preaching about Job, regardless of his situation, his faith was always in view, always on display. But sometimes we neglect some things, but God will never change in his power. The same power he had when he spoke worlds into existence is the same power that he has tonight. In Matthew 28, verses 18, and Jesus came and spake of them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now the verse tells us that Jesus has been given power. Just what does that mean? Power of authority. He still has that same power today. He's still an authority today. He's never lost that power, folks. He will never lose that power. He's simply an authority today. I hear this quite often. I'm sure you preachers do. Sometimes preachers get up and they've been pastoring their church for a number of years and they said, I'm still the pastor here. As if he might be in doubt, he's not. Never used that phrase. Pastored 42 years. I was either the pastor in control or I was not the pastor, not in control. When God calls a man, places him in the local church, he becomes the under shepherd of God. God puts him in control of the flock. Should never doubt that for one moment. People to follow God. I'm not trying to get ahead of myself tonight, but we need to follow God because of his power and authority. Then we find power to rule our government. He rules the universe, and nothing is done without God. Nothing goes unnoticeable without God seeing what's taking place. He knows everything. He knows all about the evil, corruption. He knows all about the good things. Nothing is unnoticeable to God. He knows everything. I like that, don't you? With this wicked crowd that we got trying to run our nation, thinks they're getting by what they're doing, God keeps a record. And one day, they'll face God. I think about these women who have abortion and commit murder. The only hope of them is to be born again, get washed in the blood. And they're going to hell one day. The white throne judgment, they'll give an account for that. Every man that's been voted in to lead us in this nation and leads us astray and does not follow God, one day he'll give an account to God for it. I'm talking about saved, lost, he's going to give an account to God. They will not get away with that. Then again, the Bible said authority over mankind. Simply stated, Jesus is the all-powerful one. Jesus said that his power had been given unto him by who? God the Father. The all-powerful one. His power, he said, has been given to me by the Father. Jesus said that this power had been given unto him. In other words, it is God. Listen, the will that Jesus possesses all power in heaven. This is God's will and the earth. And nothing can change this fact. God himself gave Jesus power in heaven and in earth. And we're accountable. About years ago, my pastor, just a young Christian, he said to me, he said, Brother Fry, he said, when you pray, always pray in the name of Jesus. If you want God to hear your prayer. I hear a lot of people pray, not in the name of Jesus, but my pastor taught me that. I've been praying like that for almost 60 years. Every prayer I start, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Back some years ago in a meeting in Winston-Salem in the Soul of the Lord Conference, that's when Dr. Jack Hiles was living. They called on this preacher to lead in prayer. And this is what he said. He says, Jack Hiles is a powerful man of God. I want to pray in his name today. That's a blaspheme in the sight of God. You do not pray in no man's name except Jesus Christ. Are you still with me?
Yes,
I kiss no man's ring.
Right.
I do not have to bow to the Pope because I bow to one that's on all authority.
Yes,
and his name is Jesus, one that's been given all power in heaven and in earth. And the Bible tells us something else now. In other words, it is God's will that Jesus possess all this power. We think about his creative power. Now, Jesus was the agent of creation. In John chapter 1 and verses number 3, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. Colossians chapter 1, notice now in verses number 16 and 17, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. In verses number 16, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This is the same power that's working in and around us this evening. I look in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, who ask or think according to power that worketh in us, beyond our imagination, beyond our wildest dreams, God is still able to perform beyond our imagination. He does things that we don't understand. Have you ever seen this, the power of God, talking about how powerful that is? You can pray, I mentioned this, the most powerful weapon that God's given us is prayer and the word. Two of the most greatest powerful weapons that we possess on this earth is God's children. You can pray right here tonight. Before you get through praying, thousands of miles away, God is answering that prayer and taking care of that need. That's power, right? That's power. I was in a meeting not long ago, and I know faces and I know all names in churches, so you're in so many different churches. But I seen this man come on my right, and he was praying. Then a man came on my left, and he was kneeling, and I seen another man get down beside of him, was praying with him. And I didn't know that this man was praying on this side for him to get saved. While he was praying over here for that man to get saved, though he was still in the office, he's over here and getting saved at the same time. Now that's God. That's the power of God. Isn't that amazing? Both men came. One came lost. One came saved. But when both left, both were saved. That's the power of God. That's shouting ground, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible says this is why we can say with all assurance of heart that Jesus is able. He's able. I like that word, able. My dad used to say to me, son, I want you to do that right then. I said, Dad, I can't do that. He said, that's one word we don't use around here. You never know till you try. And I always thought this be so true. How did my daddy know that? I remember my first bucket of water I drawed from the well. Had that old windlass and that rope and that bucket on it. And I said to my daddy, I'm not big enough. I'm not strong enough to bring up that bucket of water. He said, son, you can do it. And I turned. And the closer it got to the top, the more tired I got. But I couldn't let that windlass go. I was afraid it'd kill me. So I just kept on pumping and winding. Well, I brought the bucket to the top of the well. My daddy said, I knew you could do it, son. But that was the hardest bucket of water I've ever drawn in my life. Thereafter, it got a little bit easier. Why? Because I got stronger. Had confidence. I knew that I could do it. I'm here tonight to tell you that God can do all that. It's nothing impossible with God. He's the same. He never changes. Then again, the Bible said, notice now in Matthew 21:20, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Oh my. I've been saved a long time. And I've been like the woman that prayed every day. She had faith. For God, she lived in this valley, for God to move the mountain. And finally, after a time of praying, that mountain was still there. She said, just like I thought it would be, God had moved that mountain. Now, I used to think this. Well, when I pray, instantly God could move that mountain. But God is saying to you and I, the biggest, tallest mountain that we have is a mountain of doubt. If you and I have faith enough to pray that God will move that mountain and cast it into the sea, God said he would do that for us. So doubt keeps us from doing a lot of things for God, you see. Then his redemptive power. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Isn't this wonderful? He's the author and finisher of our faith. When I think of this, when I read a book, I like to know who the author is. You know why? Because if I know who the author is and I'm acquainted with the author, I get more out of the book. Do you? I remember years ago, I'd heard Dr. Oliver B. Green preach so many times. I'd read his books and his commentary, but never met him. Then I got the opportunity to meet him. And I had in my mind, he was a tall, slender fella and thin. But when I went down to the gospel hour and met him for the first time, he was a very short man. And he had a little old hat and running around there. And I said, this is Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, remember that first time I introduced myself to him as a young preacher and young pastor? Had a tract table then. He jumped up there and sat down at that table. He said, now, brother, I only have 40 minutes to talk to you. I thought this great man of God on hundreds and hundreds of radio stations known around the world, he's going to take 40 minutes to talk to me, a little old preacher nobody, but he did. He became my friend. You know what happened after that? I love his books. When I would read his books, I had got acquainted with the author, amen. I read the Bible before I got saved, and so did you. But oh, after I got saved and got acquainted with the author, the book become alive. It become the breath of God. Because I know who the author is. So Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, notice now the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's amazing what you can hear on TV. I heard them today, this man so smart, he had all of these degrees in front of him. And they was questioning him about prayer, and I said, I'm going to listen to this. You know what this man said with all these degrees in front of his name? He said, when I pray to the angels, they answer my prayer. I said, foolish man you are. I'm glad that Jesus Christ is our intercessor. I thank God I believe in angels, but I don't pray to angels. I pray to Jesus, the one that hears me and able to do something about it, you see. It don't mean because they have all these degrees, they knows everything about the Bible. Jesus Christ is our intercessor at the right hand of the Father. He's the one that pleads our case for us. He's the one that goes before the Father when we pray to him. Again, the Bible tells us this, he said, or the price that he is the only one in whom salvation can be found, Acts 4:12. He paid the price. He paid the price for our redemption. He paid the price for our salvation. We find here the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Then he will never lose his saving power. Isn't that great? God is able to save the most wicked, vilest sinner that's ever lived on this earth. I remember back years ago in Stark, Florida, in the state penitentiary, and my first time they had a priest, and I preached on death row for 5 days straight on death row. I met a man there by the name of Larry Mann. When I got there, I'd already heard about Larry Mann. He took a little girl, 10 years old, out in the woods and raped her time and time again and killed her. And so they caught Larry and he was convicted. He was supposed to die in the electric chair. And they put him in the penitentiary in Stark, Florida. And I went down while I was fishing on death row preaching, I met Larry Mann. This is what he said to me. He said, I'm glad you come by, preacher. I've heard about you, and I know you love eagles, and I've painted you an eagle, and I'm going to give it to you when you leave. It hangs in my office today, an oil painting of an eagle. I hadn't seen one in 13 years at that time. Larry Mann had not seen that. This is his testimony. He said, since I've gotten saved, if I could go back and put life in that little girl, none knew what I did to that little girl, take all the sorrow away from the parents and the family, I'd do that. But he said, I can't do that. But he said, when Jesus saved me, he wiped the slate clean.
Yes, sir.
But he said, one day they'll come and get me, handcuff me, take me down to the warden's office, I'll sign my death warrant, I'll go to the electric chair, and I'm looking forward to that day when I pay that debt, he said. But I was down there 2 years ago and inquired about Larry Mann. He never made it to the electric chair. He was on death row 32 years and died of a heart attack. Every day, Larry Mann died just a little bit. How much more punishment can you get than that? But I believe one day, because of God's great salvation, I'll meet Larry Mann. Even though that terrible sin that he committed, that murder he committed, yet God forgave him. God saves old sinners.
Yes, sir.
If I didn't believe that, I'd close my Bible, walk out of this church, and never preach again. God still saves old sinners. The Bible tells us, you notice now, he never loses his saving power. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore? He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him seeing ever live to make intercession for them. Then also we find his protective power. Jesus is still the good shepherd. Aren't you glad he's protecting you? He is a good shepherd. What does a good shepherd do? He walks in front of his sheep. He leads his sheep. Takes them through the valley, over the mountain, among the woods. A good shepherd leads his sheep. The Bible says in John 10:11, I'm the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, and he will care for his sheep until they are safer at home. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
God said, Jesus, his son, I give him all power. He's going to take care of his sheep until he leads them safely home. We may have to weather a lot of storms. We have to go through a lot of valleys, a lot of sorrow and heartaches, but Jesus said, I will lead you safely home. I heard this man preach one time, 3 hours, and never stopped. 3 hours he preached on Psalms 23. Preachers, folk I never heard such a message in my life. Bob Marshall, he was a walking Bible. He not only preached, he labored in preaching. He preached that night 3 hours. I sat there and listened to this man of God. He took the lamb at birth. He took him all of his 33 and a half years. And then he went out there, got to the shepherd, where they took the sheep out in the springtime in April and brought them back in November. After 3 hours, when he's bringing all the sheep back, he had some in his arms, some around his neck. And through that spiritual eye, I could see those sheep all over that good shepherd. Oh, he had preached it so real that night. That's just like the Lord Jesus Christ. So he came home with the sheep and lost none. That was a banquet, the festivity, because he lost none. One day in heaven, thank God, Jesus said, I have lost none. All the Father gave me, I've kept all of them, and none is lost. What a time that's going to be. Amen. If that don't help you, your wood's wet and your crank smoke tonight. Then again, the Bible tells us here. Notice now here, listen, in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such things as you have, where he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He will do it for, let me say, he will do it for others, he'll do it for you. In Romans 2:11, for there is no respect of person to God. He loves us all the same. Isn't that great?
Amen.
I said to my mother, see, it was four of us children. And my sister's older than I, and then there's myself, and then I have Brother Walton and my baby brother JT. Now, Mom and Dad's been gone for years, and my brother and my sister's gone. I'm the only one left in our generation. But I remember when my mother seemed like she'd beat the tar out of me and my sister. But when my brothers went to her, she was kind of lenient with them and kind of just scolded them a little bit, and they didn't get what we got. And so I went to my mother one day, and I said, Mama, I believe you love Walton JT more than you do me and Pauline. Oh, she said, no, I love y'all equally. Y'all can kind of make it by yourself, but your two brothers have to have more attention than you have to have. I got to thinking about that. Isn't that the same way with God? God's got some children in his family. He has to pay a little more attention to them than he does others. Why? Because some of us just grow strong in the Lord. But it means that God don't love us. He loves all of us equally. Then he said, let me say, he will see you safely to heaven. This is his promise now in Romans 4:21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. There are some precious promises that you and I have from the Godhead. These are things about the Lord will not change his mind. The Bible said, first of all, he's promised to save us. Amen?
Yeah.
And he did that.
Yeah.
And then again, promised to clear all of our record. He did that. When God saved you, he cleared the record.
Hey.
He took all, dear God, he took all of our sins, put them behind his back on the blood. He washed them away in the blood.
Yeah.
He cleared the record. And then again, the Bible said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he promised to supply us. Again, the promise is clear in Philippians 4:19, but my God, notice now, shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Why? By Christ Jesus. Why? Because God gave him all power. Again, y'all notice in Matthew 6:25 and 34 through 25. Chapter 6, beginning at verses 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or not yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all of these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all of these things. Notice now. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought with the things that are sufficient, and the day is the evil thereof. So when we have finished the journey, we will never be able to say that the Lord ever let us down. When we have finished our journey and stand before him on that day, we'll never be able to say, God, you let me down. He has never let you down. He will never let you down. He has never let me down. He will never let me down. He has promised to satisfy us. When Jesus met the woman at the well in John 14:13-14, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of the water of this water shall thirst again. He said, whosoever drinketh this water, talking about the well of Jacob now, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. If I take a drink of this water, I will thirst again. If you take a drink of this water, you'll thirst again. You keep going back to the well. But I preached a message not long ago, there's more than water in the well. I learned there's more than just water in the well of Jesus, amen. If you drink water from this cup, you'll thirst again. If you go to the well of Jesus, hallelujah, and drink his water, you'll find more than water in his well. You'll find salvation. You'll find satisfaction. You'll find keeping power and saving. You'll find all of this in the well of God. You'll find that day. Since the day that God saved you, since the day that God saved me, I have never thirsted for salvation ever again. He satisfied that thirst forever and ever. Don't you feel sorry for this crowd that's always going back and going back, said, I've got to get saved again? Oh, I don't know. I thought about tonight that I got baptized. Oh, I felt like I'd just gotten saved. If I could do it all over again, I'd do it again. But I know that water gave don't do anything except just immerse you in obedience to God. But God saves you one time. That's sufficient. You have to go back to well for that more. It'll satisfy you. And then again, he promised, also promised the hungry soul. He said, you know what? He said, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to feed you. God promised he'd feed me. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Is he talking about all the food we put on the table, we feed this old physical body? It's more than that food.
Yeah.
I like to go to church.
Yeah.
When we can sing old time songs like we sung tonight.
Yeah.
That thrills my heart. And then have old time Holy Ghost preaching from the Bible. And God spreads a table and feeds us with the preaching of his word.
Amen.
Because he said, I'll feed you. Oh, Paul Williams sung that song, I found a place where there's sweet rest. I found a place when I'm hungry, he feeds me.
Yeah.
And I found a place when I'm thirsty, he meets every need.
Yeah. Yeah.
God said, I'll take care of, I'll feed the hungry. Then also the Bible tells us again here in Psalms 107 verse 9, he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth a hungry soul with goodness. Then Jesus and what he can give. 1 Timothy 6:8. Having food, notice now, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. God has gave us food to eat physically and spiritually. Let us be content with the things that God's given us. I'm more than happy just being saved, aren't you? Do you know what frightens me today? Oh, a younger generation, a younger preachers, they go off to school. They come back with no biblical conviction, no biblical standards. And they'll feed you about anything. But it don't take care of the hungry. But oh, I like this still old-fashioned churches and old-fashioned preachers left can feed your soul with the word of God. When I go to church, I want to be fed. I want to be fed by singing and music, especially the preaching of the word of God.
Amen.
Then again, let me say in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation again be without covetous. And be content with such things as you have, where he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. It would do us well to remember that in Jesus we find all we need. Can you imagine that we find all we need in him? People are looking every day at the world. Are they not satisfied? They are not satisfied, but in Jesus. He has promised to cure us. There is no doctrine more precious to the saints of God than the doctrine of eternal security in the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept with the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed. What? In the last time. These are the last days. These are the last times.
Yes. Yes.
Then John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Then he has promised to sustain us. By this I mean is that God has promised to give us grace along the way. Trials into it. I think about the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:7-9. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan above me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most glad that therefore will I rather go in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In life, whatever comes our way, with Jesus by our side, thank God his grace is there to help us to face whatever trials and troubles that we have. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. People often say, I did that because the devil made me do this. Every person lost or saved has temptation. And we have a conscience. Conscience is that part of a person that chooses right from wrong. Now, when you get saved, the part that's born of God cannot sin, will not sin, because his seed remaineth in you. But we got this old carnal man. We got this flesh. But there's no temptation what we cannot overcome by the grace of God. When temptation gets that strong, let me give you a little illustration. The first time I rode on an airplane overseas, I'd ridden the plane prior to that at night, but I was on this plane, and I'm going to the mission field, 35,000 feet in there over the Atlantic Ocean. And when the seatbelt lights went off in those days, they could smoke the cigars, the pipes, and the cigarettes on the plane. And then they still drink all the liquor that they want on there. I'm sitting beside of this man when we got airborne, and he said to me, he lit up a cigar, and he said, "Sir, would you like to have one, sir?" I said, "No, God save me from them. I'm not trying to be smart now." And then they came down the aisle with that liquor card, and he got one. He said, "Could I buy you a drink?" I said, "No, God save me from that." He said, "What do you mean?" Now I told him how I got saved and born again. He said, "God just ruined you, didn't he?"
Come on, Doc.
But let me tell you, before that happened, the devil said to me, "If you'll take a cigarette and light it up, it'll calm your nerves. Nobody will ever know."
Come on.
That's what the devil tells you. Then once you do it, he said, "Now everybody knows." I mean, that's what he does you. He said, "No one will ever know, but I knew one would know, and that was God."
That's right.
And I didn't take that cigarette and light it up. But when I landed in San Juan, Puerto Rico to change planes, and I'd gotten off the plane, went to gather my luggage to get on another flight, there was a man from Madison, North Carolina, on that same flight. The devil knew he was on there. He knew he was on there. And he said, we ran face to face. He said, "What are you doing over here?" I said, "I'm over here to preach revival. What you doing over here?" He said, "On vacation." Then that's when you thank God you didn't yield to temptation. See, the devil's smarter than people give him credit for. So God said, every temptation comes your way. He said, "I've been there before you." And then again, I want you to know his power, then his personality. As I get ready to conclude you in Hebrews 1:12, "And as a vessel shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy year shall not fail." Now this verse simply reaffirms the truth of our text. Jesus Christ will never change. Will never change. You see, he is love in 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord hath appeared of old to me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Again, the Bible tells us he is light in John 8:12. "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I'm the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Then number three, he is alive in John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 1:14, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Ephesians 2:1-5, he said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ by grace." He said, "You're saved." I thank God by grace I'm saved. Then the Bible said, then he's Lord in Acts 2:36. "Therefore, then all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord in Christ."
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad he's your Savior?
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad he's your Lord? Now, some preach this in two different steps. That's not right. When he saved you, he became your salvation. He became your Christ and your Lord at the same time. I'm glad he became my Christ, my salvation, and my Lord at the same time. But there's a lot of people who refuse to let him be Lord of their life. They think they live in the way they want to after salvation and get by with it. But there's a payday. There's a judging day. Then Revelation 20 and verses 11 through 15. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works.
Yeah.
I've already preached this week. We that are saved, after we know how to be present with the Lord. And when we leave this body, we go yonder in the presence of the Lord. We have some kind of body. It's not a glorified body, but we have some kind of body there. But when the Lord comes the next time, he's not coming back to earth. He's coming in the clouds. He's going to bring those with him who are asleep or in his presence. And we that are living at that time, we'll be changed in a moment, twinkle an eye. We'll put on glorification.
Yes, sir.
We're going to meet together. You know where we're going?
Yeah.
To the judgment seat.
Yeah.
He's going to inspect our work, and we're going to be rewarded according to our works.
Right.
We're saved by grace. Down the road now, speaking about here, 1,007 years later, there's going to be another judgment, the white throne judgment. Now, they not stand before God as sinners, but they stand before God giving account of their works. And there are degrees in hell now.
Right.
Some will suffer greater loss than others, but there's no air conditioning in hell.
Right.
The Bible said, where the worm dieth not. Right. You see, the Bible says, you know, now. And you how they're going to be judged? The Bible. God has his complete library, 66 books. We understand the Old English Bible. King James, God breathed, the inerrant word of God. At the white throne judgment, they're going to be judged by the book.
Right.
The things that's written in this book right here.
Yes, sir.
No man would get away with it. Judges may be crooked today and get by with it. Okay. Lawyers can lie and get by with it today. Warn to you lawyers, that's what he said, and you hypocrites, that's what he said. I remember one time that I had a wreck, and the insurance company gave me this lawyer, and he said, can you give me that verse where he said, warn the lawyers? I said, I sure can. I wonder today, what do you want that verse for? All lawyers are not liars, but some of them are. There are very few Christian lawyers out there. That's my rabbit, and I'm running. But anyway, I get back to preaching now. The Bible said, notice that. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. That means those that were buried at sea. Death and hell delivered up dead which were in them. And they were judged. Notice, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Right.
God don't change.
Right.
He will not change. He's the same. He's unchangeable. And God will not change his judgment.
Right.
He'll not change that. But aren't you glad you're saved tonight?
Yes.
I'm glad I've been born again.
Yes.
Washed in the blood. Would you stand all over the church? Our pastor is going to come. Our song leader is going to come with our invitation. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for our time together, Lord, this week. Moments together spending the word of God again this evening. And I pray that your word has found a lodging place in the heart of the hearer tonight. Oh God, I pray if there should be one in this audience unsaved, God, you'd save them tonight. Might be that child of God has grown cold, indifferent, and they've drifted too far from the spiritual shore. And Lord, I pray for them tonight. The things that are accomplished, we'll carefully give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. What are we singing?